Hi and welcome to the podcast. This is Andrew.
Douglas. And this is Damien.
Okay, we're drinking Guinness tonight. We're not live this week because we're actually very late. On top of the fact, I never told people that the clocks changed this week, so now we're at.
You didn't
10.
Tell them that the clocks changed?
No, I didn't tell them.
I stopped myself from saying that one.
I didn't tell them that it would be 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time this week because the clocks ended up changing in the States.
Eastern Standard, damn it. These guys need to realize they're not on Eastern Standard. They're on what is called Eastern Daylight Time because those bitches use Daylight Saving Time.
What anyways.
My problem with Daylight Saving Time is that it was implemented for farmers. America doesn't farm shit. Alright?
No, but at the same time, Let's move on.
We don't need.
It's nice to have extra daylight when you come.
I really don't give a damn about farmers. Anyways, Douglas was going to tell me the significance of why he's made me drink Guinness today.
Right. Guinness.
Reach for greatness.
Well, no, it's not anything fantastic or whatnot. But today is St. Paddy's Day.
Oh, I do know that.
As such, I thought we should have an Irish brew.
Is this Irish? Is Guinness Irish?
St. Paddy's Day applies to Jamaica, right? Starting last year. No, it actually doesn't apply.
It's just a day.
It's the only year that I ever
celebrate St. Paddy's Day every week that we come on.
No, we're celebrating it Irish today, goddammit.
The only year I ever noticed that we even pretended of St. Paddy's Day was Cricket World Cup, when there was actually an Ireland game on that day. And people were going crazy.
No, I don't really. Whatever. It's just.
I know.
It's like Halloween. Like, you know, everybody's all like, oh, you mustn't celebrate Halloween because either two
should I put green Kool-Aid in there?
It's against religion. Kool-Aid.
Yeah, that would be genius. Earlier today we went around the place. We went to Sovereign and Damon was telling me about how a long time ago, back when he was still at high school, he and his friends went to Sovereign. And they decided to pour Kool-Aid in the fountain by the stairs. And after he had poured it in at the top, walked around for like 10 minutes and came back, the entire of the fountain was red.
There was just people looking around like, what the hell is...
Oh, so by Kool-Aid you mean the actual crystals?
Right.
I was thinking that you had black Kool-Aid. And I was like, really? Got that red?
We just walked past and like... And then people were standing there like security guards like, what in God's name? Because we did it very stealthily and we went and bought chicken or some such body and came back. It was hilarious. We're stupid. I'm still stupid.
Okay. Yes. So I guess we can start the podcast with what we've been watching, and I'll start it out. This week I actually took a break from like watching all sorts of new films like I always do, and all sorts of other things. And I actually sat down and I had myself a John Hughes week. I sat down and I watched all of his films that he had directed. And even the ones that I don't remember that well, that I haven't seen in forever. And I'm just going to talk about those. Like, Uncle Buck.
I didn't even know that was him. I've seen the movie before and everything, but I did not know that was John Hughes.
Yep, John Hughes all the way through. This is the first time I've seen Uncle Buck in God knows how long. And I loved it. Like, as I love all John Hughes films. John Candy, oh, you are sorely missed. It's classic. I remember even watching it and the pancake scene where he makes these massive pancakes. I just got a craving for pancakes immediately. I wanted those pancakes. It is a movie that you have to see. I also saw Planes, Trains, and Automobiles following that up. Another John Candy and Steve Martin film, and it's one of the few John Hughes films where it's like really, well, it is rated R, but it really is only one scene where they go off the handle with all the cursing, and it's a huge famous scene where Steve Martin comes up to the clerk and is like, fuck you,
sorry,
you fucking idiot,
sorry,
how fucking dare you? Huh?
Are you saying this is the only John Hughes film that has a lot of cursing? I mean, it doesn't have a lot of... That only has one scene where there's a lot of cursing.
No, is it his only rated R film? I think it is.
Possibly, but...
Like, his films don't really have the huge cursing or anything that makes it rated R. And I just found it odd that it was rated R. And I mean, it didn't make it... it didn't really change the film for me, for the fact that it was rated R, especially because the reason it was rated R was all lumped up into this one moment in the film where Steve Martin just went crazy and just said fuck like 20 times in one conversation.
You only get two.
Funny film. and I think one that I don't know if I ever saw it before was She's Having a Baby, the one with Kevin Bacon.
Whatever happened to Kevin Bacon? I know he's in Armored.
No, he isn't. No.
Kevin Bacon is the last thing he probably did, or at least
the
time
was the death wish one.
Yeah, that one where he's like, he's a father and somebody kills his daughter or something,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, okay. His son. Like, I think it's his son.
His wife and someone.
Yeah.
And he goes like postal.
Yeah.
But he's so good. Whatever happened?
I didn't really think of Kevin Bacon as so good.
You don't like Kevin Bacon?
Are you being serious?
I like some Kevin Bacon movies,
but he's bad because he's not bad. But to actually rate him on the positive side, like the good side, I don't know about that.
Fair. I don't trust.
He's a serviceable actor. There's so many movies with him that I like.
Yeah, but
like I think one that always pops up in my mind when I think of Kevin Bacon is Silver Streak. Or is it Silver Streak? It's the one with the bikes and the bike messengers.
Silver Streak. I know which one you're talking about, but I'm not sure if that's the name.
And it has Lawrence Fishburne in it, and he starts out as like a stockbroker.
And I believe the crazy lady is in it too.
The crazy lady?
Your crazy detention lady.
Detention lady.
Oh.
So back to
She's Having a Baby, Kevin Bacon and Alec Baldwin in the bubble. It's a really good film. Like it's the first, like when you see John Hughes films, you see stuff like Ferris Bueller and you find it as a fun, campy film or an enjoyable movie. And then you see things like The Breakfast Club and it's a serious drama, which has a few funny moments in it. Like She's Having a Baby felt to me like the wonderful mash of those two things. It felt so much like 500 Days of Summer kind of a film, because first of all, it's giving you 100% the perspective of the male throughout this entire thing. It starts at the wedding and it ends with the baby. It's the full deal, and there's so many moments, like for example at the wedding when the priest is reading the vows and what's supposed to happen, and you just see it change from the vows to Kevin Bacon hearing, you must obey, you must do this, you must do that. And when he's supposed to say, you must kiss the bride, he says, remember, do not mess up her face or her hair, she has to take her pictures. And it's just such hilarious moments that I love about that movie. And I think what's even better, when I was watching Planes, Trains and Automobiles, which apparently came out a year prior to She's Having a Baby, there were so many references to that film. Like, you could hear scenes from She's Having a Baby in Planes, Trains and Automobiles, which I found very odd. I couldn't find out any information on Wikipedia about the production to see if they were actually, like, filmed together or something, so they knew what they were doing.
Someone needs to rectify that.
Someone needs to rectify that.
Yeah.
Someone named Android.
Yeah.
Screen name G-Man R.
Of course. And I mean, I could talk about the other ones like Ferris Bueller and Breakfast Club, but everyone knows those ones and they're all awesome. Go watch those. So yeah, John Hughes, awesome. Damien, I know that I've put you to sleep.
No. You guys got Fight Club on Blu-ray.
Oh, yeah.
And I've since begun to secretly hate you. Owning Fight Club.
I love it.
But I now have it.
Ah, well done, sir.
It is a shining example of why Blu-ray is far so. I mean, the movie is good, but the sound design, I never really appreciated just how good, like the amount of attention to detail. There's this one scene where he's on the airplane and he's envisioning the airplane crashing.
Yeah.
And it goes from like him talking, you know, so it's all center channel. And then out of the blue, it's just full surround of the plane and everything. And you hear people screaming after that, and it's just so. I mean, the movie is just so good. And every time I watch it, I see different things that I didn't see the last time I watched it, or I don't remember seeing. And the movie is just, it's just so great. And I mean, if there's people out there that haven't seen Fight Club, just don't listen to this podcast anymore. Until you've seen Fight Club, then you feel free to come back. Just pause it now and find it somewhere and download it. Or rent it, Netflix, do whatever you need to do. But this movie is, I mean, it's just so, so good. So, silly rom-com called The Ugly Truth. And Gerard Butler is in one of my favorite movies of all time. Right?
Which one is this?
He's in 300.
Okay.
Sparta!
I love that movie. Ever since, he's been disappointing me with more and more.
What about Law Abiding Citizen?
Rom-com.
That looked like your kind of.
Shut up.
There were explosions.
Shut up.
A piece
there
of
was Jamie Foxx.
Yes.
Which we know he loves.
Are you quite finished?
He was in Lara Croft.
Was he?
Yeah,
that
was him?
Yeah. Can't
I'm not done with
drink.
It yet.
Yeah, drink. I'm just going to break that. If you know Gerard Butler, shitty rom-coms, then by all means, bask in the warm glow of mediocrity. But if not...
My mom loves that movie.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Nicholas probably thinks it's the greatest movie ever made.
No, he probably thinks it's the greatest Kevin Smith movie ever made.
Wow. No. Based on... I also saw What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
Oh!
There was a contest on Film Spotting, not to plug another podcast.
Actually, you won't because he's going to edit.
Fair enough.
No,
there was a podcast. There's a contest.
A beep.
That went use the Mario 1-up song. about what was Leonardo DiCaprio's best performance. And they had some other shows nominated, but it really can only come down to The Departed or What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
The Departed, but I haven't seen Gilbert Grape, right. So.
Oh, you haven't seen
Gilbert? I haven't seen it.
Oh, man.
So I went back and I watched The Departed. And everyone knows that The Departed is awesome, but not a lot of people have seen Gilbert Grape. See Andrew right over here.
Yay!
And Departed, really, for best movie?
Best
his best
performance.
That's what I mean, sorry, but yeah. Really, The Departed?
Alright, what else would you nominate? Are you going to shout in The Aviator?
I mean,
there's
it just
Catch Me If You Can.
No, definitely not. I love the movie, but definitely not.
Romeo and Juliet.
But I haven't watched
it. Titanic.
Oh, of course.
Basketball
clearly.
Diaries.
What?
Basketball He's in Diaries. The Basketball Diaries. You didn't know that? You know, I'm Bruno Kirby.
Yes, it's really bad. You don't need to
ask. You know what? I'm not even going to think about it. I'm just going to keep drinking.
Blood Diamond.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
What does
there is.
Let's move on.
Inception, that's his best movie.
There's one that he did with Winslet.
Oh, Revolutionary
Road.
Have you seen that yet, by the way? No.
No, I still don't watch it.
So it comes down to the Departed and What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
I liked him in Revolutionary Road.
I'm not.
But I definitely wouldn't put that against The Departed. Yeah, sorry.
No, The Departed and Revolutionary. I went back and I watched both. And while The Departed. Me, arguably, is a better movie. He's clearly better than Gilbert Grape. I mean, just the range that he showed.
And not just the range that he showed. I think also age needs to be a factor.
Right.
He was maybe 10, 15, something like that when he did this movie.
He was, like, Johnny Depp may have,
He put some fairy dust in his cereal every morning. That's what Johnny Depp did, okay? Because clearly this kid going from this movie to, like, say, I don't know, Titanic or
I mean, Johnny Depp was great in this movie, but I mean, everyone is just. I mean, his performance is just so stellar. That's just the only way to put it. He's so. I mean, he's so. Like, every time I watch it, I cannot believe that he's the same dude in Titanic. Yeah. He's just so good. So. I mean, there's no way that this isn't his best performance. He didn't win on the poll from Insert Leaf here, but.
Film spotting.
But. I mean, for me personally, that was clearly one of his best. Also, watch Catch Me If You Can, because I love that movie. And
I haven't watched that in forever. I should probably look at that one again.
That movie, I remember, it was the first audio. Well, the book.
And so the it continues.
So the book.
Tune to the motherfucking greatest.
The audiobook that Catch Me If You Can is based on was the first audiobook I ever heard. It was on cassette. My friend Andre Lynch lent me like second form, and I was just trying
second
to,
form.
Yeah,
nice Catch second. Me If You Can.
No, the book that is based.
Oh, okay. Because I'm like trying to calculate. I know you're younger than me, but I'm pretty sure I went to that movie in sixth form.
The movie, Tom Hanks is good. I can't believe he's in Angels and Demons. He's just throwing away all the goodwill.
Why?
He ever
has. What the hell is wrong with
no idea what the hell is going on. And Leo is great. The supporting cast is great. The story is great. It's a fun movie. And it's also a really good drama. Andrew, one of you guys put it on a Christmas list a few months back. You're a crazy person. Make references about Christmas like twice in the entire movie.
I like it.
That's what we call it stretching.
And yet I wasn't allowed to use Groundhog Day.
No, you're crazy.
I'm sorry.
Well, you said there was snow. It called.
So, and there was a party at the end.
Uh-huh.
And they wore sweaters. And I think
Chico by the Dozen should have been the greatest Christmas movie.
No,
those movies
end
in Christmas.
It wasn't good though. Those weren't good. They weren't the greatest.
But there was snow.
It was okay. There's snow and children, so it's a Christmas movie. It's just not a great one. I give it that. Christmas,
fair.
Fine.
Yeah.
This won't end until you leave him alone. You know, right?
He's crazy. Also, watch The Godfather again.
No, just don't even talk. Move.
No, I just need to say Godfather 2 clearly is the best. And I know there's a lot of people that don't agree, but you're wrong. And I also watched a movie this week that is, I'm going to say it now, ahead of next week's review of this movie, A Prophet. You are all going to watch. That it is on par with The Godfather. It really is that good.
I'd just like to let you know that you're setting a bar
now.
It's not like when you would tell us to review a film and then we go in and we come back next week and we'd be like, set it there.
Right.
You know, you're setting a bar, which means
and
if it doesn't hit that bar,
you can crucify me. But I'm pretty confident. I'm like the wire confident in this movie.
What's next week, Wednesday? Huh? Next week, Wednesday, is the
24th
at event.
Kill Damien.
Damien.
I'll bring the nails.
No, I mean, we will all see. But, this movie is instant classic, and we'll find out in our full review next week.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my turn?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I haven't watched too much this week, but first I want to talk about a movie that I actually forgot to talk about last week, that I had watched last week, Leaves of Grass, which is the Ed Norton film.
Starring Ed Norton and Ed Norton.
And Ed Norton, directed
and
co-starring by
grass.
Tim Blake Nelson. Yeah, a lot of grass.
Puff, puff.
And I have to say the movie was good, but not, you know, as good as a lot of people are kind of championing it to be.
But Ed Norton is it. Twice.
I know.
It has to be.
I know. And he does do a good job with the whole duality thing, except he kind of he kind of leans on this crutch that is this southern accent plus the whole.
You realize you're saying bad things about Edward Norton.
Ed Norton is a really fucked up dude. He'll come after you.
I know this, okay? I saw him when he did that thing on TV. Don't worry. With all that said, I did enjoy him, his characters, and how he interacted with himself.
Yes, but, I'm going to avoid.
Yeah.
Easy masturbation jokes. Never
again. Yeah. The movie overall, it was adequate. It was above average.
His brain is just
very slow.
So sad.
I've been thinking of something completely different. Move on. I'm sure you are.
It's very sad. Easy jokes about Andrew. Not necessary.
The movie, like, it plays really well for, I don't know, the first two-thirds of itself, but then it kind of...
Pieces up.
A lot of stuff happens all of a sudden, and then it's just kind of like, whoa there, slow down.
Is it that cluster F at the end?
It kind of is. Okay. It sort of is. And then, right at the end, after the cluster F, as you so eloquently and...
Are we trying not to say fuck?
I think we're trying not to say fuck.
Yes.
But right after that, then...
Fuck.
Look, you can't say that when we were hinting at masturbation. All right?
Clock?
Wow. Anyway, suffice it to say, it's a good movie. Watch it if you get the chance, but not, you know, stellar, not great.
Ed Norton is in it. So
a movie I did watch this week that cannot be called a great film was Doomsday with Rona Mitra, directed by Neil Marshall.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. But I have
that
to say,
my genre,
I actually kind of enjoyed it. I mean,
wow.
Because I knew what it was going in, so I wasn't saying, I need character development, I need this. No.
They didn't even blow up shit properly in that movie.
But it was a fun hour and a half to be had, and I'm glad that I watched it.
So you hate 2012, I love the same.
Go and watch.
I don't hate 2012. I actually really like 2012.
Damn right you don't hate 2012.
Go and watch The Descent, damn it. Yeah. The Descent.
Some batch thingy eat three women.
And something else I watched this week, because I watched it tonight, was the first episode of an amazing television show. It's on FX, which is kind of like TV, except they have good shows and they're low cursing. So it's more like cable, I guess. Because it is cable. So.
Could we
pass
out to the point?
It's called Justified. And it's starring, and I didn't even know this before I DVR'd it, but it's starring Timothy Olyphant.
Alright.
Add it to the BlackBerry.
Yeah.
Can you get service up here, by the way?
Of course.
Can you get service up here?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
The bigger, better network.
I've heard the show described as a Western set in modern day, and actually... That's a very good description of the show. It's marvelous.
Is Clint Eastwood in it?
Yes, his name is Timothy Olyphant. Timothy Olyphant is exactly, he's that guy. He's Clint Eastwood / John Wayne / whatever. He is the marshal that comes to town and sets everything right. And I love it. It's essentially
tired of hearing Douglas talk about Olyphant.
Oh, shut up, man. Essentially he so in the show he's a marshal. He really is a marshal. He was in Miami, but
Tommy
like
Jones in it as well.
No,
the US marshal. Damn it.
So he's based in Miami, but then, you know, something happens, as always does, to set the situation for the show, and he has to go back to his hometown of somewhere in Kentucky. And
so is it 24 the Western?
No. This is not 24 the Western. This is Timothy Olyphant, the badass, the Western.
So it's not headed down 24.
No. And I have read online and gotten various promises from various people that the next two episodes are as good.
Yeah.
So at least we have three episodes.
Hopefully. And there's no caveats at all.
No caveats at all.
Fair enough.
I love this show.
I wanted this to be another Dollhouse situation.
But Douglas, you saw something this week with Don Cheadle, didn't you?
Oh, I did. I actually completely forgot. Thank you very much. I watched Brooklyn's Finest.
Is it good?
Actually, it kind of is.
Well, yeah. It's the dude that did Training Day. I expected it to be at least good.
Andrew's told me about some stuff about Mr. Fuqua
Andrew
and what he has done. However, I would say that Harsh Times was not as great as
He also did King Arthur.
There we go. King Arthur was awesome.
Harsh Times had Christian Bale in it.
Yeah, Christian Bale and El
Rey. I like that movie a lot.
You do? A lot?
A lot.
Like,
Christian Bale bias.
Yeah, alright.
In fact, maybe a lot of it is Christian Bale bias.
I remember thinking Harsh Times was only okay.
Exactly. That's exactly what I thought about it. I was like, this is an alright movie, but I will never watch it again. And But Training Day is awesome. This movie, I don't think it's awesome in the sense that, whoa, I really want to watch it. It's really cool to watch, but I like the way that the characters are developed. I like the situations that they're put in. I like the relationship between these things. And he actually kind of tries to do a Crash sort of, you know, melange.
I don't like bringing together Crash.
I know. But it works.
No, because he doesn't use Crash.
All right.
I didn't know they could have made a movie about New York drugs and used as many wild characters as they did. There was,
get away with it.
There was Omar. There was
and
Mr. Sheep.
There was Weebay. There was
what's his name?
I don't know. He's the governor.
Oh, the governor. No, probably someone else.
That dude. That's the governor. And there was the deputy ops, I believe, was in there as well. I counted four. I don't know if there are more.
Alpha.
Unfortunately, McNulty was not in there.
And unfortunately, they're not showing anything.
Digital, yes.
Yes.
I call them and ask them. They're like, Alice in Wonderland is coming out in 3D.
They're like,
I don't want to see
that
shit.
Oh, I actually read a review today, and I kind of laughed because I know what everybody else says. And the person said, Alice in Wonderland is the best Tim Burton film I have seen so far.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean anything. Could have been this and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
No,
maybe that's
no,
the only
Charlie
one
and the Chocolate Factory is pretty awesome.
But if he says it's so far, what does that mean? Has he seen all of them?
That's probably what he's saying. That he has
seen at least like two or three of the good ones. Like, come on. And to tell you the truth, most of them are the good ones.
Plus, I don't care.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it anyways. And with that, we can move into news.
What news are we talking about today?
Let's see, what news did you put in the wave? Harold and Kumar going to Christmas. It's going to be filming this summer.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
I'm very happy for that. But at the same time, I would raise a question, and actually the person in all of the articles that I saw raised a question. Is this really going to happen? Because Kumar kind of has another job.
A semi-important job.
Yeah. But it's not important. Come on, what the hell is that? Liaison to the arts via Obama? That's bullshit.
I'm sure Obama...
You want that job.
Obama needs...
want that job. Because all I do is walk around and get paid. Yes.
Obama needs someone to tell him which good movies to watch.
That's it. Man works for the government. Clearly important work.
There's lots of Jason Segel news this week.
Yes, there is. He is officially starring in the greatest Muppet movie ever made.
The one that he wrote.
Yes.
Can't wait till that movie comes out.
Oh, shit.
What? Do you have a problem with Muppets?
Did you not watch Spaghetti and Sarah?
Hold on, stop. Hold on, stop. No, hold on, Douglas, stop. What did you just say? I'm about Muppets? You don't like Muppets? How can you not like the Muppets?
Not a child. No, like Sesame Street, I don't.
I'm sorry, no, you just lost your right to talk.
Hell is wrong with me.
I'm going to play. Have you ever seen the Ricky Gervais and
Elmo?
Yes. Come on.
I don't give a shit.
Sesame Street is awesome. Muppets are awesome.
It's going to go straight to hell. Man, damn it.
You have to at least, like, Kermit. No. And the
Big Bird.
Those are the two. If you don't like anybody else,
also
the Grouch. Like.
Son. Unless I'm fucking trash guy.
I get that. The Grouch is pretty awesome.
Which comedian said that?
Dave Chappelle.
Dave Chappelle.
Like, no one's helping me.
One.
Of course I'm a Grouch. I don't even have fucking crack.
One crack hole. One, two, three smacks. Oh, how many smacks was I give you before you had crack?
And also, Jason Segel's gonna be in the new Duplass Brothers film.
Yes, with Ed Helms. Right?
With Ed Helms.
Yeah.
I haven't
how many
heard...
movies are these brothers going to make this year? Is this like the 10th one?
And of course, it takes them 3 months of non-stop shooting and around 10 months of editing to do their films.
Jeez. These guys, because they have, okay, they have the one with John C. Reilly and Jonah Hill coming over.
Right.
They have this in the works, I guess. They have, I've seen, oh, there's Mars, sorry, Mars that has, I think it's Mark Duplass had something to do with that one. It's kind of like half animated and stuff. Actually, I almost put the trailer in last week's, but to tell you the truth, I didn't really like it. So and there's all sorts of things that these guys do. I just think they work much too hard. But then again, you know, that might not be a bad thing.
Totally not a bad thing.
I think they're lying.
And hopefully it's a good thing for me, because I like Bagheads. And I liked Hannah Takes the Stairs, which has... Jeez, which one is it? I can't remember.
You like Puffy Chairs as well?
I haven't seen that one.
Oh.
I haven't seen that one.
I've been meaning to watch it too. Other news, because it's a ridiculous title, Douglas likes to put it in the news. Spielberg apparently wants
yes.
to direct a movie called Robot...
Robopocalypse.
Robopocalypse.
I would so watch that movie, and I can tell... I don't have to look at Damien's face, because it is all blank right now, but I know that once he sees a trailer for Robopocalypse, he will love it, because it is the apocalypse, which is the end of
Sir.
The world. And that must be Damien.
Sorry, the name of the movie is Robopocalypse. The only way it could be more awesome is if it had tits and was on
fire. Thank you very much.
See, here lies my question. Is it the apocalypse which happens to have robots in it? Or is it the apocalypse of robots, which means like there's no oil or anything?
No, what happens is the robots kill people.
It is Robopocalypse. It's pretty self-explanatory.
Exactly.
What the hell are you
doing? So I'm just really stupid.
Earth. It's like
you're overthinking this.
The humans are dead, Andrew. Come on. And then there's a binary solo. 0110.
As long as there's
gas the rest is.
As long as there's
they need to have that cameo in the film, and they need to not be robots. They need to be in their like box suits.
And
then a robot
then
steps on them.
Exactly, the robots are like, you are not a robot.
That's ruining you.
Spielberg, I allow you to take that idea.
Speaking of Flight of the Conconcords.
I'm sorry,
Clement.
I'm sorry,
Mary,
how did we
Men in Black 3? What the hell is
that's
that?
The worst segue of all time. We're speaking of Robot Apocalypse. Speaking of Flight of the Conchords. Sorry,
that's
we get
that's
to
what
them.
We're talking about.
With the humans are dead.
Robot.
I know, but then we were...
No, why are you talking about this?
fair enough. So what are we talking about, Damien?
Awesome. their news of... You know, Avatar has to make our news. Avatar has to make our news.
I just put that in as a joke because I thought it was hilarious. Because,
I mean, if there's a week that we don't talk about Avatar, James Cameron will come and shoot us all.
Actually, he's right here. He has the gun cocked and he's waiting for us to talk about it.
So, apparently, the DVD details have come out. The DVD Blu-ray details have come out. And they want to ship out the shittiest DVD Blu-ray you can find.
No. I disagree. I think this is the most awesome Blu-ray ever. You know why?
Why?
Because there are no trailers.
Fucking awesome. Can you imagine buying something and when you put it inside the disc, it plays?
I can't believe it.
I mean, if only, like, I know music never did it because you could never buy a CD
but
and listen to the music that is on the CD.
Yeah.
You listen to commercials and radios and lightning. I know, like, on... When you VHS, it was the same thing.
But I think this is probably another case of James Cameron saying, I'm going to set another record. And he has become the first person to release a DVD or a Blu-ray without any trailers on it. So James Cameron, you are another record breaker. Sorry you didn't win the Oscar.
All right. Well, I'm not sorry. Let me just ask you guys a question.
Yes.
Why is it, other than video quality, you made the jump from... No, stop. No, let me ask my question.
You hear the sarcasm in my voice? This is a horrible move for them. I hate...
Did you hear sarcasm?
No.
No. I was putting the movie on the Blu-ray. What? That's ridiculous. I need...
Why did you make the jump, other than video quality, of course?
No,
from VHS... to DVD.
Video quality.
That's all?
Yeah, pretty much.
You weren't like, ooh, special features.
No, that was part of it. It was a added benefit.
Well,
but it was just...
And I mean, as much as we hate to have to sit through 20 hours of trailers before we get to our movie,
yes,
that's why
I love special features.
No,
and
I'm
this
not,
disc
no.
is not coming with anything
yes.
on it. But
if it also doesn't come with... trailers, I'm willing to make that sacrifice. I'm willing to... I'd actually buy Avatar. If... Just to prove to them that no one wants...
But you see, herein lies the thing. There's so many movies that I've bought on DVD, and I've been suckered into accidentally buying the DVD
Just the movie on it. That's enough. That's enough. I know exactly what you're talking about. You're talking about Mr. Batman Begins.
No, I'm not.
Cool.
I'm talking about movie DVDs in general.
So I was in a movie store with him at the time when he was buying Batman
Mister.
Begins. And he said, oh, look, it's Batman Begins. This movie is awesome. I must get it now. And I said to him, Andrew, you do realize, hang on, not only does that have no special features, but they have told us that they're coming out with a version with special features in about 5 months or 3 months or whatever it was. And he's like, no, no, I must get it now. And then he gets it and he complains that there are no special features.
Right. Let's be clear. Right? If the movie was not on the disc, and they only sold special features separate, no one would buy that. No one gives a shit. You want the movie. That is why people buy the DVDs. Special features are nice.
They're
very special. But what do people hate most about watching movies they bought is scrolling through 9-10 trailers that are unskippable for the most part. Unless you know some hack or have some tool to power through all of this nonsense.
XBMC.
Oh, there's one where after the first trailer starts, you hit stop twice. And
really?
Then play. And it goes straight into the movie.
Awesome.
As soon as the first trailer starts.
Up,
and
down, down.
It's worked for most of the DVDs that I've had, so it does work.
I have to try that one now.
I haven't tried with any Blu-rays because my PS3 is no longer with me. But...
What happened to PS3?
I don't want to talk
about it. Tear.
So
the Red Ring of Doom
No.
Worse.
Much worse.
So
like
if
some
they
sort
put
of family members.
Yes.
Yes.
If they put Avatar alone on the disc, and when I put in the disc, it doesn't say don't steal this disc that you paid for. Alright, and it doesn't say watch these shitty trailers. And you wouldn't steal a car, why would you steal a DVD for the movie that I paid for?
That I don't like, yeah.
If when I hit play, there's a menu and it says chapters and play, I would be satisfied with that. I would buy that. I don't even like this movie that much and I'd buy it just to prove to them that that is what people want.
But I'm going to double dip anyways.
Why would you? No, you see, I don't understand that.
Do you
logic.
Really need, no, how many times do you watch the special features on a DVD? Compared to how many times you actually watch a movie. Not that many. No one does. You watch them once, and if they're really good, twice or three times. But you'll be watching that movie over and like, oh, I've seen the special features already. And sometimes, even on HD movies, special features still in SD or some sort of madness. Yeah, they're fun the first time, like, oh, a further insight on the movie and commentary. But at the end of the day, the movie is what you're paying for. Not special features.
Fuck you for being right.
Yeah, damn it. So sad. Come on, James. Finally, you do something that I can jump on a bandwagon for. Please, dear Lord. Fox do this across the board.
Did you know that the menus aren't even going to be animated? It's just going to be text.
That is so good. Finally, I can scroll through it quickly. Oh, this is great. I can just get to actually watching the movie. Because Pretty Menus is why I have bought a DVD.
I actually really hate... Like, I love Pretty Menus and I love animated menus, but I hate the pretty animated menus that make you wait for an animation and then for the menu to pop up and then you can do it.
Cars.
Cars does that too?
Cars. Okay. Have I told you about how much I hate the Cars Blu-ray?
Yeah,
so if all it is Avatar in block in... Like, sans serif.
It could be,
right? A white page bit text. A white page sans serif Avatar. Eight chapters. Done.
Talking about DVDs, has Douglas told you about my recently DVD issue with his box?
No.
Alright, so Douglas...
I programmed my box.
Of course.
There are various DVDs from Andrew that I like and would like to keep and not give it back. Yeah. One of those, I know you're not one of the guys that like this, but that's what it, one of those DVDs for me is Death Proof. And so I said to the box, listen, you're not to give Andrew back. So Andrew puts his DVD in, like I planned for him.
Eventually.
Eventually, he had to do it. To watch Death Proof downstairs in my room. And he's watching it. And he's like, okay, you know what? Time to go do whatever. Mm-hmm. And he pressed stop. And he tells it to open, and
it does
the DVD drive doesn't open at all. Because I told it, I don't want him to get the DVD. I don't know why he's complaining about it, whatever. But for alright, so yeah, that's very strange. Death Proof will not, like, I have to restart the box to open the DVD drive, which is insane. But at the same time, I put in my lucky number 11, it opens and closes like nobody's business.
Put in Adam, opens and closes like nobody's business.
So I really don't know what is wrong with your Death Proof DVD, Andrew.
The box realizes that this movie is so mediocre that it must, in order for you to get it back, you have to shut it down. Force it, because it doesn't want you to continue watching this shitty movie.
Actually, it's the opposite.
Watch it all the time.
Right, because it's already there, but it won't give you a chance to spread it around and infect other people with your nonsense. That's logic that is built into the software. Those engineers are genius.
I should actually try some of my other DVDs, see which ones you've programmed for.
I can't wait until you actually break the drive and then I can die. Stupid bastards.
Would it take Blues Brothers?
Oh, no. Well, in a sense, it would. It would, you know, break it in half, okay. Because nobody should.
That's the logic that I want in my new DVD. It should go out on the internet that the DVD rating is less than 6 or shredded this.
Rambo.
Like, what the hell? No.
Rambo.
Seriously though, on a real note, anybody who is actually listening to this podcast that uses XBMC and has ever had this problem, please let me know what a VIX is. I don't understand what is going on.
It's so awesome. I've never heard
it. It's hilarious because actually, so I turned off XBMC and went into Ubuntu proper with you know, the Genome session. And with Death Proof in it, it was opening and closing like nothing. So, XBMC is just having a problem with it.
You think you're wicked.
So, trailers this week.
What trailers are we watching? Because I have not watched all of the trailers in there.
Please give.
I don't know if that place is as good as we think it is.
Wait a second. Excuse me, sir. Are you hungry? Would you like this?
I'm waiting for a table.
I'm so sorry.
Really?
Please forgive me.
You from the Salvation Army?
She's from a store on 10th Avenue.
I mean, it's probably junk.
What do we ask for that?
$5,000.
That's great.
Where do you find your stuff?
We buy from the children of dead people.
How nice.
Okay, I saw that, but I don't remember. What I do remember is I didn't really like it that much. It was very mediocre.
From the director of Friends with Money, and I went, oh, shit.
Oh, I never watched that movie, but later.
Question. I mean, you might not remember because you said you don't remember. Was the girl in that trailer the girl from...
From Away We Go?
Not Away We Go. Your TV show that you love. Arrested Development?
Arrested Development. No. Wait, which girl?
The child. The teenager.
teenager. Oh, no, no, no. I don't think so. I don't remember seeing her in that. Maybe you're talking about, right?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't think so.
Because it looked kind of like it was her, but I never bothered to look it up.
I can't remember. We could play it. No, we're not live.
Can we talk about how awesome God of War 3 looks?
No. I like Catherine Keener movies. I've come to like her. I mean, she ends up in movies that I like a lot. She's even in 40-Year-Old Virgin, which was awesome. I didn't realize it was her until I rewatched the movie recently.
Is it really that awesome?
It is.
I hated it the first time, and then I watched a piece of it like recently, and I was like,
Douglas, funny fucking Douglas, movie. Rewatch it. Judd Apatow knows what he's doing. Oh? Damien? What are you doing over there?
Hiding from this music.
Not a fan of 40-year-olds? Or he virgins?
He must be a fan of non-virgins that get themselves knocked up, though. Okay, alright.
That movie is so
awesome. That movie is amazing.
But I know you're not a fan of funny people, though.
You know what surprised me so much, Andrew? Was that movie, and I'm talking about Knocked Up for all you people out there. The director's cut, the unrated version of that film, is so much better than the regular version. Usually, it's the other way around. Usually, you look at unrated and you're just like, why did I get this? Why? It just don't make no sense at all.
For some reason, whenever I think of unrated, I always think of Sex Drive now.
Yeah, the whole porn thing, like, oh, we just hired porn actresses.
Have you seen the intro to that movie, the unrated version?
Excuse me, no, I haven't.
It's hilarious. The guy's in there, and the director and that the girl's guy, the girl's man, the friend, right. who gets all the poon, you know?
The actor in the film.
Like, you just sit there and they're like, hi, welcome, this is the unrated edition. If you bought this, you're shit out of luck and stuff like that. All you really see is the movie I meant you to see, plus some unnecessary tits. Hand under tits. And dick. Hand under...
Wait, did they actually touch the tits?
No, and they didn't touch the dick.
So they didn't touch the dick. I wanted to say, yes, touch both.
And of course, the movie, as I told you, was plastered with porn stars running across and green screen over the real film.
Yeah.
Really stupid.
But that movie really surprised me. That movie was
It's a real fun hilarious. Movie.
I didn't think that movie was going to be good at all.
I know.
Neither did I.
This shit's going to suck. And then I saw the movie, I'm like, am I wrong?
Has my, you know, outlook to life been wrong all this time?
Do I still like good movies?
No, you don't.
I need to watch some legit.
Go look for something bad.
Where's Shawshank? What is going on here?
Douglas telling me bad things about Shawshank.
What did I say about Shawshank?
I remember when I went to go and buy Shawshank, you were like, why are you buying Shawshank? That movie isn't worth buying.
No one ever said that ever.
A lot of
in the history of the world ever.
I don't know if I actually buy it.
And then a year later, his friend gives it to him for Christmas. So he has it on his shelf.
Stop talking. I just don't watch that movie very often.
When I do, I watch it and I'm like, this is really good, but...
Yeah, I just don't like watching good movies a lot. I like watching things like A Man That Fell from Space or something.
I love the story behind how the guy got the rights to write the script. Because
I don't want to hear either. Don't sully my.
It's a short story by
Stephen King.
Don't care.
And Stephen King, apparently, whenever people come to him with ideas for his short stories, he's like, alright, I'll sell it to you for $1. Or some madness like that.
So I guess that's what he did. Well, no, Green Mile was a full blown book.
Yeah, that was a full blown book.
What else?
Damien, stop plugging your ears. Back to trailers. The Mechanic.
You know what a mechanic is? The guy who fixes problems. What I do requires a certain mindset.
You want to train me? Why would you do that?
Retirement. Practice on this. All yours. Learn a treasure plan.
Luffy, you want me to kill him, not rape him, right?
An outside individual to complete your assignment.
I think someone trained by me would be valuable to you.
You're on a short leash with this one.
I did watch that one.
You did watch this one.
Yeah.
It's the remake of the Charles Bronson film starring Jason Statham and Ben Foster. Damon, I'm sure you've seen this original. What do you think this trailer matches up?
Looks like Transporter minus the cars. But looks like Transporter minus the cars. I was saying it to Andrew before. I think I'd be willing to give up all the awesome remakes to sign like some law that they can't remake anything again. Like with no, I'd give up Dark Knight. I'd give up. I mean, Superman. I give up all of that. Just to me, I give up the Neutron. I give up all of those movies.
Well, no, the Neutron isn't a remake. It's a straight sequel.
Fair enough.
Boots are there.
No, it's a remake. Please, they're remaking this movie. Nonsense. I give up all the good ones to ensure that this it needs to stop.
All it means is they're going to find more apeshit ways to make sequels.
Yeah, but when the sequels start making money, they'd have to do something ridiculous like come up with new ideas. You remember that? You remember new ideas in Hollywood? Do you remember? No, you don't. You can't be dream. Where are they getting it from?
New ideas?
Exactly.
No.
There's
that's
Inception. There's Inception. There's Inception.
Right? I mean, it's just... like,
Inception.
Everything...
No, Inception isn't a new idea. It's just Memento. Did you not hear... Who was it? It was Leo.
I love how every audio clip and interview about Inception with anyone from the cast is them going, I don't understand this movie at all. Did you know...
I did my parts and I don't know what else there is after that.
He said action. I did the action. He said cut. We went home. What is it? Dude, this doesn't make sense.
I read one page other than my script and I shit my pants.
Dude, it cost $100 million. I've seen the entire script and none of it makes sense.
I also didn't know for a long time that JGL is in it.
The what?
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Oh, you didn't know he was in it?
No.
Yeah, man.
I thought it was just Leo and Ellen Page.
Like, seriously. I'm back to
mechanic.
Leave the tangent. I mean, like the people who the only people who know and have any affinity to the mechanic are probably dead. It's like me and three other people.
There's a big Charles Bronson following on there.
Yeah, but I mean,
for once upon a time in the West, not the mechanic.
Why the mechanic? What?
Because
what,
it was a bad movie.
Why they remake?
Because it was a bad movie, and you should only remake bad movies, as people have said.
I'm sorry, what?
I watched the mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, like within the last year,
right.
I mentioned it on this podcast,
right.
And I said it
so
when I.
So there's anything wrong with your statement that you're making? You know, A, you're not a car person, and B, you don't have sense.
But the mechanic isn't about cars.
Yes, it is. Partially about cars.
It had nothing to do with cars.
The movie's awesome.
What movie were you talking about?
The Mechanic. I love that. Have you seen The Mechanic?
No, I haven't.
But I mean, other than one scene, there was nothing to do with cars.
Listen, at the same time, this is the same guy that I'm not going to talk about Disturbia. Didn't like Bullet. So,
yeah, I mean, Andrew's wrong. I don't know why Andrew's wrong.
And I didn't like Seven Samurai, right?
Because he wears a skirt. The Mechanic. Like, there's people who love it or they wouldn't be remaking it. And it's not, they're not remaking it because it was bad. If that was the case, Biodome would have been remade 900 times. No remake shit when it's terrible.
They wait a while before
they
get to this.
They remake it because they know that the name will
you
hook
didn't
some
like
people.
Biodome?
In fact, the reason there's global warming now is because the Earth is punishing us for creating Biodome.
Stephen Baldwin, you didn't like that.
You can take out his teeth now.
Nature is trying to kill us all for allowing that movie to be made. That is where global warming
but
started.
But they cleaned up.
Can we stop?
Stop. Move on. Douglas, what do you think of this trailer?
Well, okay, so before I even saw this trailer, I thought to myself, well, it might be cool because Statham is in it. Maybe it's going to be another type of Transformer-type thing.
Transporter,
yeah. And,
sure
enough. Wait, no, then, after that...
Like, they're the cars.
After that, even before I watched the trailer, I found out, and I really didn't know this until today, that Ben Foster was in it.
I didn't know it until I watched the trailer.
And I said to myself, Ben Foster is amazing. I love him.
Have you watched The Messenger yet?
No, I don't watch it yet.
People.
Then I watch the trailer. The trailer looks like garbage.
Why would you listen to me?
It looks horrible. But if you think about it, the trailer for all the transporter things look essentially the same way. So I
bullet hell kicking people in the
Yeah, that's, you know, so I hope, I pray that this film is on par with Transporter.
And not War or
exactly. Right? However, Stay just from the trailer itself, it looks like crap. But I just hope
I love
that
people
it's
trying
the
to
right
guess what movie
crap.
I said was the worst movie I've ever seen. That we just watched. One guy says, was it the Chung Lee movie? Mm-hmm. One person says,
see,
The Room.
You have found a way to pretty much top everything except one movie.
And what's that one movie?
Just guess.
Another one you made us watch. And with that, we'll say... Hold on.
How horrified I was at a movie in all my life.
Before we clarify as to what we're talking about, I just want to put down my two notes about the mechanic. First of all, I've already said I don't like the original, so I'm okay with them remaking it.
What was that?
I don't like the original, so I'm okay with them remaking
it. So if you like the original, you're not okay with them remaking it.
Alright.
I will copy and paste Damien talking about Harvey right now.
Fair enough.
So that's what you're saying then?
Well...
No, I'm just asking you. I'm not...
So...
99% of the time, yes.
Okay.
So, that's the point.
No, I was making a
point.
Well, I probably would have bitched and moaned when the news came out. But when the film came out and I watch it, I'm like... when the film comes out and
What?
Douglas.
Yes?
Stop it.
I just asked him, was I put the top on the bottle and it
and
jumped
it committed suicide.
You've had two Guinness, Douglas.
Yes. Thank you very much, sir.
What the fuck was I saying?
Mechanic.
And then we were talking about how, you know, if you like a movie, you don't want it to get remade. If you do like
and
a
my general concept about remakes is, if I like the original, I will bitch and moan about the news of it being remade, and then I actually will watch the remake, and then I'll be honest when it actually turns out to be good. If it's a good remake, sure, all the way, but I will bitch and moan, kicking and screaming. But I did not like the original mechanic, so, you know, go ahead, remake the shit out of it. I like Statham action movies most of the time.
The second one was so good.
As much as I love Ben Foster, I don't know how he's gonna work in the action crazy Statham film, but, you know, I'm sure it'll be good.
William Defoe can do
Ben Foster. Oh, sure. It'll be crazy action. Hopefully it won't be as stupid as the original.
Just like saying
fuck the mechanic. And with that, we can move into our feature review this week. What's the name of this movie?
Alright, so guys,
the name of this movie is The Man Who Fell to Earth.
The Man Who Fell to Earth.
This is one of the most unusual films you will ever see. The Man Who Fell to Earth is a fantastic movie about power, space, time, love, and a visitor.
First of all...
Wait. Just before we get into this, right? There is a movie, a significantly better movie, that's called The Man Who Came From Earth, I think.
Isn't that the one that was a couple years ago?
Right. About some dude who's actually Jesus. Now that movie, I loved. And now I'm going to constantly get it mixed up. This movie. For that, I hate you even more. But we'll get to the real hatred after Andrew's finished.
So first of all, Damien and I were watching this movie earlier, Damon actually gave up a lot earlier than I did, and he decided to go and do better things with his time.
Right, I scratched my glasses and still think I came up better.
But Damon and I came up to a decision that we have made about this podcast, and it doesn't matter what Douglas says. You know, it's 2-1 vote. It's done. Mm-hmm. No conversation. Right.
Plus it's your Douglas. Podcast.
Douglas is now on probation. After If the Butcher Boy, what else can we call on him?
Near Dark. I mean, there's just, I don't even want to remember some of the matches.
Like, we have been in fair every week. Douglas gets to pick a movie because he picks crazy batshit movies
and
for no reason other than they're crazy and batshit.
Oh, Rotten Tomatoes says it's awesome. That is his fallback. Because he knows two things. One, we're too lazy to check.
And David Bowie's in it.
Right? And two, right? David Bowie's in this one. Right? There's two. He said, alright. This is my excuse this time. Right? For putting us through this shit again.
So this is the terms of Douglas's probation. He is not allowed to pick a film for April.
Yes.
Not allowed.
At all.
Damon and I will overtake film picking for the month of April.
Yeah.
And when Douglas comes back to picking films in May, he can only pick films that he's seen beforehand.
Yes. For at least 1 month. Before we give him any free rate. I mean, Douglas, why have you done this to us? Why? Do you think it was fun? Was it fun?
I think he's enjoying this.
I think he...
So I'm going to kick it over to Douglas so he can explain what the plot of this film is.
First of all, clearly I'm the only person who actually watched all of this movie.
No.
I watched all of it.
You did not. You stopped.
No, I watched it. I finished it. I may have stopped paying attention at certain points. I may have got in and out, but I did technically watch the whole film.
So I saw the first half of the final 15 minutes. 45 minutes of nonsense.
Okay, this movie is about an alien who comes to Earth.
Bowie's in space.
He comes to Earth, and he has all of these plans. I don't know exactly.
Patents, to be specific. He has patents.
Yes, that's a part of the plan. A plan is a more general word.
Right.
Patent is the way...
Let him explain it, then you can go.
Anyway, so there's this alien, right? He comes to Earth. He has all these plans to, you know, do all these things with this, well, not a huge company yet, but he creates this huge company. He somehow got a hold of these 9, they refer to them as basic patents, where I suppose, you know, he owns the rights to television and music and all sorts of rubbish. And he creates his own big company that he uses as a vehicle to hopefully help his planet in some way. It's a very weird story. And then in the end, he is... Well, you know...
So Douglas is stumbling.
I try not to do the spoiler thing. Because,
no, because people need to watch this movie, totally.
Spoil it for me.
Well, no, essentially, I guess what happens is that he's not quite found out, but something happens.
Are you sure what happens?
It's very strange, right? I don't understand all of this movie.
First of all, I'd like to tell you that I'm going to cut that piece right there. I don't understand all of this movie, and I'm just going to repeat it for the entire review.
Because there is this group of people who are never fully explained who they are that have decided that they must sabotage this man. And then... And they make reference to the mafia that, you know, we are not the mafia, but we have to sabotage him using some sort of mafia way, which is very weird.
So they're Yakuza,
apparently.
Okay. So Yakuza Kryptonians.
Yes, Yakuza Kryptonians, who actually hires Felix Leiter from one of the James Bond films.
Right. I thought it was him.
And they, you know...
Do you know, as soon as I saw him, I thought he should do a Black Dynamite impression right there.
But right before David Bowie goes through with his greatest, like, his penultimate, or not penultimate, his ultimate invention slash project slash thing that he's doing in this company, he gets kidnapped and then he has tests done on him and stuff, which implies, I suppose, that one of the two people that know he's an alien tells somebody about it. And
So my first question to you before...
Wait,
or are you done?
No,
are you
done? He's not done. His brain is just trying to wrap around the nonsense.
And then in the end, somehow he escapes, but it's not like a real escape because there were no guards. He just walked out of the house. And I don't know, this movie is just weird. It has a lot of...
Wait, and the final... Wait, the final part
here,
scene?
Here.
Explain the final
here,
scene.
Here.
In the final scene, he has made a music album so that his family can hear, because they actually did explain this, that he, or the planet he's from, can, you know, see, watch television coming from TV, and so I suppose by extension also listen to radio, and he said that he did it for his wife, and he wants his wife to hear it on radio someday. But, I don't know.
And he died, didn't he?
But he's an alien. You can... Hey, listen. It's okay for an alien to not live the same amount of years as a real human being, alright?
Kind of like Superman.
I don't even know about Superman. Does Superman live forever? That's never actually tackled, is it?
Well, I mean, there are books where they kill him, but generally the rule is he lives forever.
But anyway, this movie, it... The director clearly was like a 1960s auteur, like, you know, really artsy, but like they had a lot of footage that was way out of context, like all of these alien bodies rubbing up against each other and doing somersaults and all that rubbish.
And the sex scenes.
Oh my goodness, the amount of sex scenes in this film.
What the hell was going on?
Like, Douglas, if you needed to see the David Bowie sex tape, I could have gotten you a copy.
Yeah, I didn't get why they brought in Rip Torn's character from so early, because he had absolutely nothing to do with it until...
Much like most of the movie, nothing had anything
something
to do.
Was I didn't like the way that they aged the people, because as the movie progressed, you didn't realize that time was moving, but then all of a sudden... This person that was kind of young or maybe middle-aged would have, like, gray hair and be dying. And you'd be like, wait, has time passed? So this scene was, like, what, 10 years before the other scene?
Every frame of animation represents a day.
All right,
so
now...
60 frames.
So my first question to you is, what would you rate this film? Like, on your scale...
On your Guillermo meter.
High five. Now it's special. Guillermo meter. I think that was gonna stay.
Maybe 3 G's. 3 G's.
That's 3 G's out of 10, right?
Yeah,
just want to make sure.
Out of 10.
And then using regular people scale.
I can't use regular.
So we need to find.
Once you go,
G,
you never go back. Okay.
Okay. So, I watch a lot of movies, and in watching a lot of movies, I end up seeing a lot of crap movies. Eventually, I have never had a problem with completing a film.
I never had a problem with completing this film. I watched it straight.
Well, you have a better palette than I do. I never have a problem. I mean, on occasion, I might pause for a second and giggle and continue. But honestly, I can power through a film without a problem. This movie, I had to take breaks every half an hour. Whether it, like, and sometimes it just happened that I got a break half an hour after the last one, because I'm sure if I ended up going 40 minutes, I would have shot myself. This movie is fucking insane. It makes absolutely, positively no sense.
Well, it doesn't make no sense, to tell you the truth. If you dwell on the details, yes, there's a lot of... No. Wait, no. Hear me out, right?
Seriously.
If you dwell on, like, why was this shot here? And why was this thing happening right now? Okay, yeah, like, that doesn't make any sense. Movies. But if you look at the overarching themes and the overarching story, it makes sense.
Is that David Bowie in real life is an alien?
No, no.
That's the overarching theme.
No, seriously. The overarching thing is this alien that comes to Earth because his planet has no water. And he says, okay, I'm going to now take the water. Clearly, it must be that I'm going to somehow harness the water from the Earth and bring it to my land. And he uses all of his powers to create this huge company whereby he can create a spacecraft and do all sorts of things to get back to his planet and so get back with the water or whatever it is. And you can see, even in the beginning, he's like, okay, he goes to the lawyer and he says, how much is this worth to me? And the guy says something like $300 million, and he says, no, that's not enough. How long would it take me to get that? And he says, like, 10 years. No, that is too long. Because he's trying to, save his planet, and you know he's kind of under a time constraint. But so the overarching story is that the plight of this alien trying to save his planet. And so no, I get you that, like, whoa, what the hell? When he dreams of these aliens rubbing up against each other with soap foaming all over. That makes no sense. But like, if you actually like go above that,
right,
then the story itself, right, it's there.
It's on what you say, right? At the start, he's saying 10 years is too long and 300 million is too little money. Yet at the end of the movie, there's a shot of his planet. There's people on his planet coming out of some house, right? And this is after...
That's actually their train.
Right? That's after one whole heap of years has passed. All of the people that were young in the beginning are clearly old and dying.
Yeah, yeah.
So whatever his plan was, right, if it was that there was a time constraint, clearly they're above whatever time constraint.
Well, no, clearly the plan didn't work because he got, you know, taken away from it.
Right.
But
the people,
like,
are still alive.
It's still
the people on this planet.
Yeah, the people on the planet are still
so
alive. On which planet? On his planet?
On his planet.
No.
Weren't there those the people coming out of the train? Weren't
no, in the end you saw people dead in hanging out of the train.
Yeah.
Were the people outside?
The dead people.
Yeah.
Oh, they were dead?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank God.
They didn't have to watch the movie. Like,
that's probably what killed him.
A couple weeks ago, I spoke to you guys about how I sat down and I watched Ed Wood, which was a film about a filmmaker in the 50s who loved to film sci-fi, low-budget, horrible 50s sci-fi movies. I was watching this film and I thought to myself, this looks like a film that Ed Wood would make.
I mean, I know Douglas picked the movie, so he's trying hard to
defend it,
which is admirable.
No, it isn't.
He's doing a pretty decent job, if it weren't for the fact that the movie was so abysmal. Now, what I usually do when I'm watching terrible movies, and I've seen many, many terrible movies, but when it gets to the point where I'm about to vote to kill myself and kick the TV, is that I have a bicycle at home that I usually pedal. And the worse the movie gets, the harder I pedal. This movie was so bad, Douglas, that the thought, I mean, just knowing that I was not watching this movie when I left the movie half an hour in, it brought a smile to my face knowing that I didn't have to watch any more of the movie. Right? And I will never watch any more of this movie. Because nothing you say, right, while you're trying to defend the movie, you're essentially defending a pick and not defending the movie.
No. I agree with that. I didn't think the movie itself was all that great, right?
Nothing inside of the movie you can take away as anything other than madness. I mean, from start to finish. I've never seen Andrew react how he reacted with this movie. Like, literally pacing around the living room, praying for a movie to end, is never a good sign.
I mean,
there's a lot of things that Andrew likes that I don't like. But to see someone like Andrew, I mean, we all watch a lot of movies. I sat through Das Boot multiple times, so it's not a matter of the length of the movie. And I've seen terrible. I sat down and watched Chung Lee. I sat down and watched Dragon Ball. I sat down and watched your other terrible movie, Butcher Boy. And I've never had the reaction I've had it with this movie. Now, this movie is not as bad as Butcher Boy.
No, I would contend that it's worse than Butcher Boy.
However.
Because, you see, at least with Butcher Boy, like, as much as the apeshit story in Butcher Boy goes, you can kind of sit down and you can go like, I liked that about Butcher Boy. You can pick something about Butcher Boy that you liked. This movie, there's nothing.
At the end of Butcher Boy, I literally felt like killing Douglas. Like, hiring someone to shoot.
Just be happy you only watched 40 minutes.
And that is part of it. I'm like, maybe it's just because I didn't watch all, because there's no way I could have. Like, literally, it became me and Andrew mocking the movie. In it. Like, nothing that was said, right? We heard because I was too busy trying to do anything to keep my eyes on the movie. The movie is not shot well. It is not edited well. Because there's transitions in this movie that toddlers could have made and made better. The sound design is abysmal, right? I heard sounds in this movie that not even the conversation, right?
Talking about sounds for a second.
Except
I have
David Bowie's red hair.
I have to say one good comment about this film, and it was more for the first half than any other. Maybe I stopped noticing because I stopped paying attention to the film towards the second half. I did like a lot of the music, especially in the beginning. It felt a lot like the Dirty Harry music that you hear in the 70s films, which I really dug. I wonder if Bowie had anything to do with the music, because I do like his music. I want to know, what made you pick this film? Like, what brought
because
you to this?
I've seen
hatred.
A lot. No, I saw a lot of good reviews, a lot of good. Other people talking about how good the movie
was. What made you bring to the title and then you can look for the reviews? Like, hope.
No, well, I don't know. It's a David Bowie film. It's really revered. And I kind of got into David Bowie a while back and found out about it. And I was like, well, I'll watch that one day. But then one day never came. And so I was like, let's watch it.
Because I've never heard of this movie. And I wish it had stayed that way. Tear. And I guess with that we can end. We've said all we can say.
No, not really. I'm harsh, so I can't.
I'm depressed now. This is Andrew Robinson. You can find me at gmanreviews.com, twitter.com/gmanreviews. You can find the podcast there. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Please don't watch this movie.
You can find me at Douglas's Wake. I'll be the one holding the knife, trying to stab his spirit. Douglas, this movie is really. I just need to hear you say this movie was terrible. Just one time. No, Douglas, please just do it for me, please. Just say once.
The movie wasn't great. I didn't enjoy it, but there are pieces.
Are there worse movies that you've seen?
Worse movies?
Yes.
And on that bombshell, I'd like to say good night. We broadcast every Wednesday, no, at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time because of the time shift. But yeah, that's just a reminder. Good night, and yeah.
You can be me, and I'll drink all the time.